Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith. Defend us from all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise its voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bit of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses. What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them. You have made them a rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. All the flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the wild, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory to God.
From Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Some of my pastor friends don't like to preach on Trinity Sunday. It seems that preaching about an idea or a doctrine is more difficult than preaching about an event in Jesus' life, like Christmas or Easter or even Pentecost. I do think that it's difficult to preach on the mystery because we like answers. We want to understand. We want to be fully satisfied with our level of understanding, even the mystery. I don't know if you have a favorite punctuation mark, but if you are a grammar geek, maybe you do have a favorite punctuation mark. I'm going today with the ellipsis, affectionately known as dot, dot, dot. That's a real punctuation mark. This punctuation mark means there's more to say, but it's not being said right now. I like the ellipsis. My text, my manuscript, always has a lot of that punctuation mark in it. It gives me the opening. Maybe I'm going to say more, maybe I'm not going to say more. It gives me that freedom. Douglas John Hall, who is a contemporary theologian, he likes ellipsis too. He says that there's a certain theology that never comes to an end, that never comes to a closure. This is what he wrote. The dialogue continues. Theology does not end. There is no complete work. With Christian theology, you have to keep talking, or else someone will believe your last sentence. Last sentences always require further sentences to prevent their misappropriation. Because what one is trying to describe in theological work is not a what, not an object, but a living subject. And our statements about this subject are always doomed to be wrong. That's why I like the ellipsis. It means that there is more to be said, more that needs to follow, but it's not coming right now. We heard that in the gospel this morning. There are truths that we can't fully understand, that we can't fully comprehend this side of heaven. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus left an ellipsis. This is perfect for Trinity Sunday. This gives us gospel permission to live with the mystery. And the truth of it is, we simply do not have the capacity to understand something that is so beyond us, so utterly beyond us. We cannot understand Trinity. But you know what? That doesn't keep us from trying. Christians for centuries have struggled with and attempted to describe God. But words fall short. Words cannot give us a true picture of God because creatures can't capture their creator any better than, to quote another contemporary theologian, any better than a bed of oysters can dance Swan Lake. Think about it. The best we can do is to describe what the experience of God is like, how it sounds, how it feels, what it reminds us of. Whether those experiences are from the words of the Bible or from events in our own lives, the best we can do is simply tell what it's like when we are in the presence of God. The evangelist John gives God a name, Word. word in an active, alive tense, an always changing tense. There is nothing static, nothing perfectly packaged in hearing the word of God, the word that is God. In our every hearing of the readings of Scripture, in our every experience of God in our lives, even the conclusion at the end of our reading, the response that we make, gives us that sense of ongoing and changing and fluid. We say, Word of God, Word of life, growing, changing, alive. God comes to us in all kinds of names, in all kinds of titles, the Word of God. Sometimes God comes as a judge, sitting at the bench with a ledger and a gavel, exposing all of the messes that we've made. Sometimes God comes as a shepherd, fighting off our enemies, preparing a banquet for us to be fed. Some days God comes as a whirlwind, blowing away all of our sureness and senses of certainty. Other days God comes as a brooding hen who hides us under the shelter of her wings. Some days God comes as a regal king and others as a humble servant. If we were to name all of the ways that God comes to us, the list would go on forever. I have this book on my desk. It's called Fragments of Your Ancient Name. And this is the book flap says, whether drawing from the Psalms, Sufi saints, Hindu poets, Native American rituals, contemporary writers, or the Christian Gospels, Joyce Rupp stirs the imagination and the heart to discover a new dimension of God. The Divine Name Index in the back, where she lists, this says 365 different names, just one page, Comforter, Companion, Counselor, Deepest Good, Distant One, Disturber, Divine Seamstress, Door, you know, images of God that we may not think of. Reading from Paul's letter to the Romans today, we get a name for God that Paul gives us, and he says, hope. God is hope. That's one of my favorite names for God, and this is what Joyce Rupp writes about God as hope. When death stalks us, and troubles rage on, when affection wavers and people fail us, when light grows faint and darkness expands, when all seems useless and nothing is left, you remain on our side, our true and lasting hope. God of hope. Is that the name of God in Oklahoma today? Hope. What do the people of Moore and Oklahoma City call out to God in these days following that terrible disaster of the tornadoes last week? Indeed, God is there, called by many names and many experiences, working through rescue workers, comforting the grieving, encouraging those who are helping out, guiding those who are planning for ways to avoid such disasters in the future. Where is God, and by what names do we call God in our sometimes messy and painful lives? God is indeed present with us in the struggles, rejoicing in our triumphs, nurturing our best relationships, encouraging us to care for those who need our care, encouraging us to accept the care that is given in turn, using us to love the world and the people that God loves so much. God is many, which is at least one of the mysteries behind the doctrine of Trinity. This is our faith statement in our confession that God comes to us in all kinds of ways, as different from one another as they can be. God is many. And God is one. That's the mystery of the Trinity. There can't be a fierce, angry God and a loving, gentle God, a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. There is no two gods. It's one God. When we struggle with God in those contradictory ways, that's our struggle. That's our problem, not God's. We can't solve our trouble of understanding God by trying to nail down one image, one name, one experience of God and say, this is it. This is who God is and how God acts. Nothing more, nothing less. This is how God is. Trinity Sunday implores us to open up to God in however God is engaging with us today. Be open to the many names of God, however God is in your life, whatever experiences, God comes to you. And God comes to us in all of our experiences. Where will you see God today? How will you name God for this time in your life? Look to see God. Now, you always find what you're looking for if you put your attention. I tell the story about when my husband, Don, was first diagnosed with cancer way back. When he first got that cancer, I didn't know anyone who had cancer. I didn't know anyone who had that particular kind of cancer, and I'd never met anyone who had been in hospice. And as soon as that experience, well, that part isn't true. As soon as that experience started, though, I started meeting all kinds of people. Oh, yeah. I pick up the newspaper, and there's an article in the newspaper about it. Magazine would have something about it. It seemed like it was everywhere I looked. Did it just start happening that day? No, of course not. I was never paying attention to it. It was always there. Other people were experiencing this. Articles were being written. There was research being done, but I wasn't paying attention to it, so I didn't see it. When you start paying attention to something, you see it everywhere. I implore you on this feast of the celebration day of Trinity Sunday to see God like that. Start paying attention and you will see God everywhere. May the Trinity, God, three in one, one in three, be with you throughout this day. Amen.